happening right now, VFN TV. We have a special Christmas program for you, and we're going to be joining the VFN interns downtown as they conduct random interviews and asking people their thoughts about Christmas and a special Connected Dots moment. You don't want to miss it, happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these
seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say thus the word to those of you who are struggling against this evil. Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They weren't even, they were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. Well, we have a special Christmas program for you today. We're so excited. We want to wish you all a very special Merry Christmas. And we want to bless you with a Happy New Year. But we're going to be bringing you today interviews conducted by VFN interns as they were in downtown Pensacola asking people their thoughts about Christmas. You're going to be surprised by what you hear, and hopefully it'll bring a smile to your face. We're also going to be having a special Connect the Dots moments. But before we do, let's go to Bethlehem, where we're going to be learning about these special Christmas carvings that have gone literally all over the world. Watch this.
Some of the most beautiful nativity scenes are made in the Holy Land, where they're carved from olive trees. Chris Mitchell found a workshop near Bethlehem that turns olive wood into a celebration of the season.
Ashraf Jaraise has been working in this olive wood workshop since he was a boy, inheriting an art passed from generation to generation.
This workshop, it's come from father to son. There is no school to learn this job. It's also what's come from your inside, from your heart.
Most of Jaraise's carvings represent the scenes and characters from the Bible. And as he says, it's what's in his heart.
I feel like the Holy Spirit come inside me, and I am happy with Jesus.
His main carvings are nativity scenes. He's produced a number of different styles, but all celebrating the same event, the birth of Jesus. They're all made from the olive wood tree, the biblical symbol of peace.
An important part of the process is preparing the olive wood itself. These branches are kept in this room for 2 to 3 years. It dries them out slowly and also preserves the color of the wood.
Jaraise showed us how one piece of wood can become a Christmas scene. First, he cuts the wood. Next, he sands it to make it smooth. Then, with the skill honed from 35 years of carving, he cuts by hand small figures representing the characters of the Nativity. Finally, he writes a personal greeting. His carvings and the ones he sells have gone all over the world, from the United States to Europe and South America. He hopes they're an incentive for people to come and see for themselves the land where Jesus was born.
I hope you see you here in the Holy Land, to come and to see where is Jesus born and where he's walk and when he's live here.
His carvings make special gifts at Christmas or any time of the year. But Jaraise wants people to remember the true meaning of the season.
The real meaning of Christmas to go to the church and to pray for Jesus and to born again, to clean everything inside, to become a new person.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News. Merry Christmas from the birthplace of Jesus.
Wonderful. Just makes you want to go to Israel. Well, listen, we get back from this break, we're going to take you with our interns down to downtown Pensacola as you watch and listen to some of these amazing interviews. Join us when you get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Steve, this
Merry
is a
Christmas.
Special day. Merry
it is,
Christmas.
Man, it is.
Well, it's always wonderful to take this time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This
Amen.
Is such an awesome day. And we hope that you are enjoying your day with friends and family and remembering what this day is all about. But we want to quickly take you to where our interns conducted these really awesome interviews. And I want you to hear what random people in the community had to say about Christmas. Watch this.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I'm with the VFN interns. And we're here in downtown Pensacola asking people about Christmas. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Christmas?
Joy. Happiness. Pretty much joy.
It's a really wonderful time of year. What would you say is your favorite Christmas memory?
Oh my goodness. My favorite Christmas memory would be, probably most recently, with my, start crying, my sister. She passed away, before she passed away, spending Christmas with her. That was my favorite.
I used to spend Christmas with my grandmother before she passed away too, so I know how it feels. Can you tell me, just, if you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be? Like, absolutely anything bad, what would you want?
I'd like to go to California and spend it with my family and my friends out in California.
That's great. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Okay. I'm Isaiah Ramos, and I'm with the VFN interns with VFN TV. And I just want to ask you about, what is Christmas to you?
Family love.
Family love. Can you explain that more?
My family gathers together. We all love each other, and we have a wonderful time. Pray to God that we get together next year, too.
Yes, that is very good. So what's your favorite memory out of all your life?
That's a hard question. Maybe my memory is yet to come.
They're very funny. Very funny. Okay, so last question. If you could have anything you want for this Christmas, what would it be?
Just my friends.
Your friends. Okay. And
I lost my wife a year and a half ago, and now I've gathered friends.
Oh, wow. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Lord, I just pray for, what's your name? I just pray for Jerry Brown, and that he will know you, God, and that you would bless him in his days, give him grace. And everything that he's going through right now, I ask that you bless his health, his mind. I ask that you bless everything in his world, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you could describe Christmas, what it means to you in three words, what would it be?
Family, love, community.
Yeah, it's definitely a great way to describe it. If you could have intern for VFN TV, I'd like to know if I could ask you a couple questions about a project we're doing about Christmas memories.
Absolutely.
Okay. The first question, what is your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite? Do I have a minute to think about that? well, I guess it would be my mother singing Christmas carols to me in her native language, German.
That's pretty cool. If you could describe Christmas to you, what it means to you in three words, what would it be?
Family, joy, and hope.
That's definitely, a great way to describe it. If you could have anything this Christmas, anything in the entire world, what would it be?
Oh, easy. Peace. Absolutely. People getting along with each other. Peace on earth. Truly.
Yeah. My name is Elijah, and I'm an intern at VFN TV. And I'd like to ask you a few questions about Christmas.
Okay.
What is your fondest memory of Christmas?
Probably one with my kids sometime a couple years back.
Wow, great. What is three things that come to mind when you think about Christmas?
Christ and gifts and I can't think of a third one.
I guess love. Love,
that's a good one. Gratitude.
Yes, gratitude. If you could have anything for Christmas, anything, what would it be?
I'd like to go see my kids in Ohio.
You miss them?
I've got daughters in their 20s. I haven't seen them for a couple of years, and I'd love to go see them.
So I'm an intern, and I wanted to ask you about what you think Christmas is.
Oh, I love the time of year. It's family, it's love, beautiful people, love. Yeah. I feel about it, love.
Yeah. If you could describe Christmas in three words, how would you? What words would they be?
I love Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. And if you could ask for anything for Christmas, what would it be?
Peace.
Thank you.
So our project is about Christmas, and we want to ask you three things on how you would describe Christmas.
Christmas is family, friends, and relaxing and having a joyful time.
Oh, that's good. All right. So for Christmas, what was your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory was going to my grandparents' house, sitting by the fireplace, and they would tell us stories.
That's really good. So, last question. If you had one thing that you could have this Christmas, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess it would be to have my entire family together.
Yeah, I can say the same thing, too.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
That is encouraging.
That is so, so encouraging. Our interns had a good time interviewing so many random people and getting their thoughts and mm-hmm. letting them express those things that are important to them regarding Christmas. But we have more. I want you to watch this.
Hi, Brad. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Christmas?
My kids. Yes.
And what is your favorite Christmas memory with them?
I don't know. There's so many. Looking at the Christmas lights. Driving around looking at all the Christmas lights. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do with my mom on Christmas, too. And if you could think of three words to describe Christmas, what would it be?
Mary and joy. Yeah.
If you could have anything for Christmas, absolutely anything, what would it be?
I got all that I need. Not to sound cliche, but being serious.
What is your fondest memory about Christmas?
Being with my family.
It's a great one. What are three things that come to mind when you think about Christmas?
Santa, Rudolph, and my daughter.
If you could have anything for Christmas, anything you wanted, what would it be?
$1 million.
What's your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory is not here, but back where I used to live overseas. We were all singing Christmas carols and playing on the radio. And all of a sudden, my sister just like breaks out in dance and just starts running up and down the hallways, acting crazy. So, me being not much older than her, just join her, and started dancing along with her all up and down the hallway. And then my mom gets the whole thing on tape. And then the following, like four Christmases later, I completely forget about it.
If you could describe Christmas in three words, how would you describe it?
Memories, family, giving.
Yeah, I would definitely describe them that way too. If you could have anything at all for Christmas, this Christmas, what would you have?
Probably to actually have all my family together for Christmas, because we are all separated overseas, so we haven't had a Christmas together in almost maybe a decade.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hope you guys get back together.
What's Christmas to you?
Christmas is having fun with family.
Oh, that's really good. I like that too. So describe three things that that Christmas is about. Describe, if you can name three things about Christmas, what would it be?
Christmas is birth of Christ. Where I'm from, we go to church, we exchange maybe a couple presents, but mostly spend time fellowship with family.
That is very good, yes.
Where I'm from Kiev.
Russia. Repeat that.
I'm from Kiev, Russia.
Okay. Last question. If you could have one thing this Christmas, what would it be?
I would like to see everybody stop fighting.
Yes, that's a definite thing. That's a definite thing.
Can you tell me your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory is the time when I was 8 years old and I thought I heard Rudolph on the roof, and I woke up and thought I saw him take off.
That's a good memory. Yeah. And can you tell me what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Christmas personally?
Family. Coming together, giving, the spirit of celebrating Jesus's birthday. It's just a wonderful time of year.
I agree. And can you tell me what's one thing you would ask for if you could have absolutely anything? What would it be for Christmas?
I would love to be able to let the whole world taste my salsa.
That's a wonderful thing.
It makes the world a better place.
I believe you. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Hi, ma'am. I'm with VFN TV, and I'm an intern. I would like to ask you a few questions about Christmas. What is your fondest memory of Christmas?
Spending time with my family.
Great, that's mine too. If you had three things that you think about when you think about Christmas, what would they be?
My mother and my brother, since they are past, and my children.
Great. If you could have anything for Christmas, anything you wanted, what would it be?
My mother and my brother.
Great, great.
What is your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory, I think, was baking cookies with my mom. Usually we would do it a couple of days before Christmas Eve, and always just was a good memory. Good memory. I like the smells and having our fire in our fireplace. That was
good. Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. If you could describe Christmas, what it means to you in three words, what would it be?
In three words? God is good.
God is good.
God is definitely good. If you could have anything for Christmas, if you could have anything at all in the entire world, what would it be?
Oh, my. Just for every family to be together and know the love of God.
Can I ask you a couple questions? Okay, so my name is Isaiah Ramos, and I'm with the VFN interns. And I just want to ask you a couple questions about Christmas. Okay, so what is Christmas to you? Like, what is Christmas to you?
Christmas is, to me, it means a lot. It means that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And it means that to live a joyful life and be happy with your family and just enjoy that day.
Yes, it is. And we could do that all around the year to celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday. So, second question is, if you could describe Christmas in three words, what would it be?
Joyful, happiness, and love.
That's very good. Yes. Love is very important because God has shared his love with us. So last question, if you could have anything for this Christmas, anything, I mean, it could be anything, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's a big question here. Just be blessed.
Be blessed.
Wow. It was such a wonderful interview, Steve.
Yeah. It's so awesome to see, to go out right where the people are and ask them, hey, like, what do you think about these moments? Why is this day different?
Yeah, absolutely awesome. Listen, we got to go to break. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer 2000. All you have to do is partner for any amount. We want to make sure that you get it and you can get it for yourself or for your family. Watch this. I want to share with you about our special offer 2000. You want to get this special offer. Just for partnering with VFN TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the France's president, François Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information, one of which is that, is this a prelude to the mark of the beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. And guess what? It's already happened with 200 people living in India. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail. And you want to mail VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
Hi, I'm Dean Easterwood with Ears to Hear. On behalf of Ears to Hear, we would like to wish you a very warm, heartfelt Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Chief David Alexander. I want to wish you a very Merry, Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Stephen Hurst. And from all of us here at Hurst Transmissions and Hurst Family Motors, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Evan Horton, pastor at Brownsville Assembly, wish you all a blessed Thanksgiving and a very Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Angela. And on behalf of all of us here at Miguel's Mexican Restaurant, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Providing resources on your rights in the workplace. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
As a coworker, I have a colleague that is on FMLA, and I'm just wondering, what are the restrictions of me to that colleague? Am I not allowed to ask any certain questions?
You're talking about someone on the Family Leave Act?
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, there's a complicated issue when you got, it's not just the Family Leave Act. There's other federal laws that are at play in a situation with an employment and working over the weekends and Sundays, and there's a question of what's called reasonable accommodation. Can an employer make a reasonable accommodation? Those are the kind of things you have to ask in these questions. Let me give you a great resource, though, to go to, and that is our website. We've got a whole section dedicated to these issues, so I encourage you to go to aclj.org to get some information there.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan. And it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding. And that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to go straight. We want to go straight to a connect the dots moments where we have talked about Christmas and what was it like when Joseph and Mary were trying to find a place, you know, and there was no room in the inn. And kind of Greg shares a funny story about this. Watch this.
And of all the things you think about as you're going to a city, I don't know if you've ever been to a city before or a community before where an event was going on or something was happening, but where there's no vacancies. There's no vacancies. And so you check this one, you check that one. I remember going to a Promise Keepers event in New Orleans. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that sometimes. And we got there, and we already had reservations, you know, on Canal Street. It was at the Days Inn or something right off the Interstate 10. It's in visual distance of the Superdome, which, of course, Pat is in awe. And and we get there, and they're overbooked.
They're overbooked. Oh, no.
And, of course, you have all these Christian men that are coming there looking at the ability to bear fruit now.
Right.
You know, it's now when you're finding out you are on Canal Street in New Orleans.
Being severely tested,
and you do not have a room. And, of course, you know, I was very patient and kind. I think I said something, you know, this is my early days, right? You're going to give us our room. Right. I invited, you know, Pat was a heathen then, I believe. Were you a heathen then?
Oh.
You weren't? It was close.
What is a heathen?
It was fresh. He still smelled like heathen. No, he was a brand new believer. And
I wouldn't have went.
You wouldn't have? No. Superdome?
Maybe.
Yeah, all right. Superdome. And then we had two other people with us. We'll talk about that right now. And which was hilarious. Whole nother story. And we're standing there with four guys, you know, about to have this big event in the Superdome. And a clerk looks at us and just basically says, you know, you don't have any room. We don't have any rooms. And they're all kind of looking at us like that. And, of course, I said, listen, you know, because I invited everybody to go. And I said, you got to give us a room. I mean, we got to have a room. And so they lean down and they whisper in somebody's ear and said something to the idea is like, give them 401. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, the room that they never rent, we got, and whatever it was. And it was like, it was rare in things to help you out. It was a basic, very basic room. I think it was a broom closet that threw some beds in. I don't know. It was a rough room. And that is definitely an amazing time. But there was no room. Imagine that you're stuck here in this city. Now imagine you're there with a pregnant wife. You know, she's going through contractions, and she's just going, you know, I mean, she can't say, Joseph, you got me into this, like, you know, because God's the father, God's the father of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But she's going through contractions. Think about that.
Yeah, and there's no hospital.
Well, you think about it, the contractions going down even today in the earth. Or the earth is contracting about the birth, the return of our Lord. But now at this point, our Lord is a child in the womb of Mary about to be birthed. And just like it was for us in New Orleans, there was no vacancies. There was no room for Mary and Joseph. And think about it. They had no idea that they weren't providing a room for the Son of God. Can you imagine, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, I should have gave them my room. I can't believe that I didn't give them my room. And of course, Jesus is so humble, and God's trying to, he's humble and he's showing us humility that he's willing to be born in a barn, in a manger, you know, and that's what happened. There was no room. And here she is going through these, you know, contractions and the day's getting close. And there was no room for Jesus in the, we would say today, hotel or motel, but they said the inn, you know, I-N-N. And it's just like, oh my goodness, that is just totally something. But yet, despite having no room, that they still found a place, Joseph found a place for his wife to comfort her in a barn, in a place where the animals were kept, in a manger, made a manger out of what was there, laid, and then Jesus was born, and laid Jesus in this manger. Of course, all of heaven is watching this because this is the birth of the Son of God. And men are still pondering all this, trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, some shepherds come. You know, shepherds come because they have this appearance of angels and, you know, says, for unto you today. Mm. And these awesome things. And then these wise men started coming with the gifts of frankincense and myrrh. And they're seeing in gold because they saw a sign, a star. And I mean, all these, everything's shifting. Everybody's going, this is it. Mm. This is it. And Mary and Joseph are just pondering, you know, I was just trying to find a room. We just finally had a baby. And it took a while to kind of, you know, what does this mean? And this is a powerful day that we celebrate. That's why you have manger scenes put up in people's homes. And that's why you find that the people that are held captive by Satan, they let their mouths and their hearts be used by the adversary, are against putting a manger scene up because that is a depiction of this day.
That's right.
Because you think, why would the, you know, a few little wooden things or plastic things with a light on it and some live sheep around it and, a little small little baby and some straw, what's the big deal? Because it's a huge deal. It's the representation of the day that God met man, that Jesus left the splendors of heaven and came, was born of a woman to be all man and all God, though he did not use any part of his Godhead. He just lived his life as a man. And that was the day that that the enemy knows. So a manger scene is like, to Satan, is like the worst case scenario, because that's the day that proves that Jesus was born of a woman, but yet his father was God, and that he was going to take away the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sin is what kept, you know, Satan's crew together. But when you get your sin forgiven, he loses you. The captive set free by Jesus. So he hates the manger scene. So don't take it lightly when somebody says, hey, you know, that, you know, we want to take this manger scene down. Just say no.
Right.
Just say no. And I was so excited. I mentioned earlier, I think last week, that there was a city, a little small city, that was threatened by ACLU that if they put up their manger scene, they were going to be sued. So they decided in a roundabout way of not putting it up by saying, it's old, we're not going to buy a new one. Well, I'm so excited to report that several churches heard about that in the area. They bought the manger scene for like $5 or something from the government, and they set it up on a property right across the street from City Hall.
Oh, wow.
That's so beautiful. That's what we got to do. We got to just take charge and say, you know, we can work this out. Mm. As a matter of fact, every city needs a piece of public viewed private land that the church owns. That you can do whatever you want to as a witness, you know, find right in the center of the city, you know, buy some building or something, tear it down, whatever you got to do. And that's your piece of property that you're going to put crosses on. You're going to put, you know, celebrate Easter on. Everybody's got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool with that. You know, they want to talk about separation of church and state. Well, fine. Okay. Then when the state needs to shrink, it needs to get smaller. That's fine. Sell all your assets, get rid of everything, small government. and give us our money back, and we'll take that money, and we'll buy land, and it'll be our land, and we'll put whatever we want on the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the government's trying to, you know, it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
And that works if the government gets small. But if you keep buying everything, it's like, hey, we got to put it somewhere. And but several churches went and bought the very same manger scene that ACLU, actually the devil through the ACLU, was trying to keep from going up, and ended up right across from City Hall in that small city.
Beautiful.
Wow. I would encourage you, don't just throw your hands up when you see that. Just think about what you can do. And it's a business that was right across the street that was out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, use our property. Go ahead and use our property. And set it up right in front of the business, right in the face of the city who denied, the city councilman who denied putting that up. You know, I just pray that the city councilman just repents and say, you know what? You know, even if we get sued, even think about this. We got to learn to understand that when you stand up for God, everybody's not happy. And half of the New Testament was written from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was crucified. James was hung.
Right.
Peter was crucified upside down. When you stand up for God, I mean, things are going to happen. So we can't keep avoiding pain and justify before God and say, hey, you know, Lord, they were going to take $10 from me, and I didn't want to lose $10, so you understand why I didn't acknowledge you today.
Mm. Right.
But think, you can't explain that at the throne room of God. You can't explain that. So I encourage you, you know, let's put up, you know, for every manger scene taken down, let's put up 10 more. I mean, you can get them. You can order them online. They got these wooden manger scenes now that are pretty cool. This seems like pretty basic stuff that you just kind of put together and shine light on it. It looks really sharp. They got plastic ones. But anything just represents, you know, what happened on Christmas Day. And it reminds people, you know, and so many kids and so many people are excited about this day because a lot of reasons. But we as believing parents, you know, we need to be able to tell them what it's all about and show them what it's all about and think about service to others. I mean, think about reaching outside and for every dollar that we spend on ourselves, let's spend a dollar on somebody outside our family that's in need. I mean, think about it. If you buy one gift for, you know, Bobby, we'll also buy a gift for this homeless man, this homeless lady, or, you know, feed somebody or, you know, buy a bag of gifts. When the sheriff's department was a deputy, you know, the deputies used to gather a whole bunch of gifts and we put it in a big bag, and then a family would get nominated, and then we would drop that whole bag of gifts off to a family that was needy, that didn't have any Christmas. And all of a sudden, these deputies would come in with these big bag of gifts, you know, big sack of gifts, and
a
tree with nothing under it, and it would just be filled with gifts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was just an awesome, awesome thing. It's time to really think about others, because when Jesus was born, he was born to die because of others, because of Father God, his Father, and because of us, that he loved us so much that he was willing to endure the cross, its scorn and its shame, before the joy that was set on the other side of being with us. So I just want to encourage you this Christmas, just to, you know, remember what it's about. It's about Christ must.
There's nothing like perspective. Christmas, it's all about Jesus and his love for the entire world, for everyone. Well, we want to go to break. And before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about the Vine Seminar. It is soon approaching, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. Watch these announcements.
So what do you do? I mean, you got this difficult times that test men's souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. But it's really, you know, we went on this journey some time back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church, you know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come ye type mentality, right? Mm. Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel darkness. And we had to find out, we're supposed to be a go-y church instead of a come-y church, that God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and said, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said, and begin to walk that out. And what we found out and beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom. The fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. But the, God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine. My Father's the gardener. You're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And it's not as hard. It's, you know, you're gonna enjoy church again. If God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to his word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, you see events. Hover over that. You'll see the Vine Seminar. Sign up for it today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
Hi, I'm Gerald Gillis with All Pro Tune-Up. Here at All Pro Tune-Up, we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Councilman P.C. Wu, City of Pensacola, District 1, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a Merry Christmas.
I'm Malcolm Thomas, Superintendent of Schools for the Escambia County School District. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. May God bless each and every one of you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. On behalf of Precision Garage Doors, we'd like to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Lynn Ballinger here at Jubilee Church in Pensacola, Florida. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, as we're coming to the end of our program, we do have a special song for you. Oh, Come, O Come Emmanuel. A little bit of a modern twist and a vision of, you know, times past, but all combined together to show you something that's pretty remarkable and hopefully bring a big smile to your face. Watch this.
Thank you.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah 9:6. Merry Christmas. We want to pray for you. We ask you, please continue to pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you would leave the splendors of heaven and be united to us, Lord, that you would come down, God, and be like us. We thank you not only for your birth, but for your death and for your resurrection. We love you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, grace us, Lord, to love you more and to share the good news, Lord, the gospel, all across the world. Happy birthday, Jesus. We love you. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile.